Some years back, I saw the television programme Glasgow Girls. It's a musical drama, and it was telling the true story of 15-year-old students in a school who campaigned against their friends' deportation. And in one scene, a girl who'd fled from Iran asked one of her classmates who'd been born and brought up in Glasgow this question. When did you last feel afraid? I mean, really afraid. Now, most of us don't live in that kind of fear. Most of us are not refugees fleeing for our lives. Yes, some of our brothers and sisters in Christ, as we've already thought about, suffer persecution around the world. But we are fortunate. And yet, we still have fears. You may have them as even if you come to church this morning. I wonder what they are for you. What are your fears? Perhaps the loss of a loved one has threatened your whole world. Perhaps you worry about how to make ends meet in the present climate. And the present climate itself, the extreme temperatures and all the problems with weather. And then there's the political turmoil that we see in so many countries around the world. So often, we are anxious. So often, we're fearful. And in the face of such fear, the message of the psalm is very clear. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Now, it sounds great. But let me ask the question, what if? And that's what the psalmist does in a sense in verses 2 and 3. Look at them with me if you would. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. And what the psalmist is doing is building this great picture, and almost an impossible picture. These things are not going to happen. But what if? What if they did? He speaks of the earth giving way. That's the whole earth, solid, secure. But if it suddenly wasn't solid and secure? He speaks of the mountains, which are signs of stability, toppling into the sea. Of the waters roaring. Waters in the ancient ages were always something to be anxious and fearful about. Waters foaming and roaring. And mountains falling into the sea. And it's a picture of chaos. It's a picture of instability. It's a picture when life is completely against us and everything is going wrong. What if? What if in your life, suddenly all the things that you know as secure were taken away? Or if you were fearful that they might be taken away? Then what? Then what? Now, in the light of these things, the fears that you and I face may seem very light. But there are times in life when, for some of us, the whole world seems to be against us. And life does seem to be caving in. And what is the answer? What is the answer? Verse 3 says, though the waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging, a river. Because that's how it really starts. Verse 4 just begins, a river. The mountains are quaking, the waters are surging, a river. And it's meant to be a huge contrast. Mountains may topple. Verse 6, nations may topple. But here is stability. This city, verse 5, will not topple. God is within her, verse 5. She will not fall. And here's the answer. God is within. The psalmist points us to the city of God, to Jerusalem, and the security because God dwells there. The river is there, an image of peace, of tranquility. God is there at the center not just of his city, of his people, plural and singular. We've just been reading that passage from John. In John chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus says to his disciples who were anxious, who were fearful, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And then in the reading we had in verse 23, Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." We'll be in them. And then that last verse, verse 27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Do not give as to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." A river whose streams make glad the city of God. The river of God, the Holy Spirit, flowing through and amongst his people. What if, and the answer is a river, God's presence in and with his people. God is within his city. It will not topple, it will not fall. And God is with us as individual Christians, you and I. And he's with us as a church. We will not topple. Last Sunday, I was over at Longborough and preaching from Philippians 1. And verse 6 says this, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on. God had begun a good work in you. God will carry it on. And I reminded people of the Christian song, "He Must Hold Me Fast." And saying that is a true line. He must hold me fast because he has promised that he will start in me and bring my life to completion. This city, my life, will not topple, not because I have any strength, but because God is in me, a river. That is my strength and my peace. And the psalmist is encouraging us in our fears, in our anxieties, to look to God and find in him our strength and our refuge and our peace. And that's something we grow into as we grow in the Christian life. First one says, "God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble." And the psalmist is speaking from his experience. This has been my experience. When I've been in trouble, God's been there. And that's what we do in life. We build on experiences. One experience builds on to another. God was with me there. I can trust God to be with me here and now. C.S. Lewis, in his book Letters to Malcolm, chiefly about prayer, wrote this: "Those who do not turn to God in petty trials will have no habit or such resort to help them when the great trials come. So those who have not learned to ask him for childish things will have less readiness to ask him for great ones." Building a relationship, an ever-present help in trouble. God has helped me. Just think for a moment. Where have been those moments when God has helped you, when you've known God's presence, perhaps in a moment of difficulty or trial? We rest on that. In times of trouble, God is an ever-present help. Or as it says in verses 7 and 11, "The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." The God who's with us, the God who is in us, is the Lord Almighty, or perhaps better, the Yahweh of hosts, God of the host. Speaking of God's endless power and resources. When Jesus was faced with the mob there in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he say to those who came against him? "Do you think that I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legion of angels?" Faced with fear, he looked at God's resources. More than 12 legions of angels. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our strength. As one writer puts it, and I quote, "What we need to know is not how bad the assault will be, but how adequate our resources are." The Yahweh of hosts is with us. It may well have been that this psalm was written at the time when God's people in Jerusalem could see the Assyrian forces around them, and King Hezekiah was the king. And what did Hezekiah do when he was faced with the armies of Assyria around him? He prayed. And his prayer in 2 Kings 19:19 is this: "Now, Lord our God, deliver us from his hand, so that all the kingdoms of earth may know that you alone, Lord our God." Yahweh of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Now, in the New Testament, we're used to God being referred to as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, reminding us that our God is a covenant God, a God who keeps his promises and has kept his promises right from the time of Abraham throughout salvation history. But he is referred to as the God of Jacob. And it may be, it just may be, that that was for a purpose, because Jacob was far from the epitome of the godly person. One writer calls him God's rascal, and then says, not in the popular sense as of a mischievous child, more in the original sense of a scoundrel or a rogue. The God of Jacob speaks of a God who in grace pledges himself in a covenant to very undeserving, sometimes very ungodly people. God is our refuge and our strength. And our God is the Yahweh of hosts, who blesses us even though we don't deserve it. We will not be toppled because God is with us. And thirdly, there's a slide missing there. So third point is God will be exalted. Now, the psalmist was very clear that in the past, God had been under pressure. God's people were under pressure. But God had been an ever-present help to his people, a river running through their lives. And now God says, I will be exalted. As I say, if the psalm was a time when Jerusalem was being attacked, then God was being attacked. God's people were being attacked. It wasn't just a city. It was God and his people. Christians around the world know that. The end of July, this is a picture of Nigeria. At the end of July, 30 Christians in Nigeria were killed when suspected militant members of the Fulani people attacked them. Now, what you have there is militant group attacking Christians. God knew that militants were attacking his people, and he spoke through the psalmist to those who knew fear. Our fears are very different. But God says to us, verse 8, come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations he's brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He calls people to see his power. His power to remove the weapons of warfare. That's the desolation of the earth, to remove the weapons of warfare so that he will be established as God. His people will be secure. And then God shouts. He shouts to the nations raging against his people. And he shouts, shut up. Or verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. He tells the nations that are raging against God and his people to be quiet, because he is God and he will be exalted, and they will be brought low, and every knee will bow to God. But until that day, we as God's people may know fear. We may know suffering. We may be persecuted for our faith. But in those fears, God is our strength and refuge and ever-present help in trouble. In those fears, the Yahweh of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And through those fears, we know that one day God will be exalted and his people will be vindicated. But until that day when all people bow the knee before the Lord Jesus Christ, what can we do? Now, I think one of the things about fear is that it makes us feel powerless. It makes us feel alone. So the first thing I suggest we do as we face our fears is that through prayer, we come to God our refuge, God our strength. And through prayer, we remind ourselves, my God is powerful. My God is able to do far more than I can ask or imagine. And then to find in him that strength to face each moment, each hour, each day. But the second thing then is to share our fears with our Christian friends, to ensure that our fears don't isolate us, that I'm not, as it were, just drawn in on myself and trying to deal with things on my own. I bring it to God, but I also bring it to my brothers and sisters in Christ. The community of faith, the church, is essential for all of us if we are to run with perseverance the race set out before us. We need each other. We need each other for support, for encouragement as we walk the path of Christ. The hymn says, through the night of doubt and sorrow, onward goes the pilgrim band. Brother clasps the hand of brother, stepping fearless through the night. Friends, I don't know. I don't know what you face tomorrow. I don't know the fears that are yours. There will be different fears from those in the psalm here. Different fears from mine. But God's word encourages us. God's word reassures us, whatever our fear, to find in God and God alone our strength and our refuge for each day. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, some of us may indeed be walking through the night of doubt and sorrow. May we find in you our strength and our refuge. May we find in each other a support and encouragement so that, perhaps hesitantly, perhaps tremblingly, we continue to walk the way of Jesus Christ, seeking to honour and glorify him in our lives. For his name's sake. Amen.